Welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight.
No, no commercials in the
spotlight, the spotlight. We get personal in the spotlight, the spotlight. Hey, welcome to the spotlight series. My name Nutty, yeah, he take it serious. We wanna know about your life and where you came from. What's your story? Tell us where you got your name from. Where you started, when you gon' finish, when the game done. A lot of characters in this movie, you the main one. Hey, welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight. Hey, welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight. This the spotlight series.
Welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight. No commercials in the spotlight, the spotlight. We get personal in the spotlight, the spotlight. This the spotlight series.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the South Harmon Spotlight. It has been a hot fucking minute since we've been on here, but if I was going to bring this series back for anybody, it's going to be for this guy, Mr. Shane Manila. You know him. You love him. You shouldn't hate him. That's my guy. Destination Devi, Dynasty Trades in 5, a man of many, 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 many fucking talents. Shane, buddy, what's up?
So every time I'm ever introduced in a show, this is me. What do I say now? Say something clever, and it always comes out like this. Real quick, I am battling a cold. So I know people, like, you know, in YouTube comments sometimes, people, for the first time they've ever watched a show with me on it, they're like, oh, this dude, I can't stand him. His tone doesn't change the whole show. It's going to be even worse because of this cold. So
no, whatever. It's perfect. I love the monotone.
Yeah.
we need more of that. Shane's out here monotone. I'm out here tore the fuck up. Just got out of a draft, which we horribly failed. And then I come to talk to Shane. Shane, you'll cheer me up, though.
What was the draft? It was the FFPC?
Full-time fantasy. Full-time fantasy. Beat South Harmon League. Superflex best ball. Underdog style, if you want to say it, where it's just the draft. We don't do any waivers or trades. Winner take all at the end. All right. Bragging rights, essentially. And when you walk out of a Superflex draft with your quarterback one being Derek Carr, I don't know how confident you should be.
Who was the QB too? Was it David Carr?
Jacoby Brissett.
I would have rather David Carr. Just get the whole family. Fuck.
Get all the cars.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, that's rough, bro. That's rough. But whatever. Shit happens, right?
Is there a third car? Could I pick a third car?
You think they're like the Mannings, like the discount Mannings?
Yeah.
Big-headed nephew still in college ready to come out?
Like Cooper Carr.
Cooper Carr.
Cooper Carr. Arch Carr.
No, Cheddar Carr. Cheddar Carr.
Cheddar Bob. Got a dumb friend named Cheddar Bob. Shoots himself into the leg with his own gun. Yeah. Shane, though, this is a spotlight, so we're going to talk about you. How the hell did you get into fantasy football, first off? And when was it?
Playing?
Yeah, just whatever your first league was, whoever got you in, however you started.
I wasn't that young. It was probably, how old am I? I'm old now. So we'll just say it was before you could do it on a computer. It was in a newspaper. You have to, you know, you check your scores in the newspaper, your players' stats in the newspaper. You would call your commissioner every Sunday morning. And as a young man, this was a terrible idea. There were so many weeks where I didn't even put in a lineup that they just, whatever. It was whatever lineup you had. I'll say this, though. They were better than some of the MFL commissioners that don't let you do that. They're just like, nah, you got to put in a whole new lineup. But so probably at least I was in college. So 24, 25 years ago, I first started playing, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I was old.
Damn. You weren't that old.
I'm old.
You ain't that old. Stop it.
But now
I got more gray than you got, buddy.
Bro, now, because I don't let my hair grow out. But now, you know, kids start playing at like fetus level, right? Like as soon as they're a fetus, they're picking teams.
They get that iPad.
Yeah, they got the iPad. I don't know how they get it up there. But that's a good woman. She fit an iPad up there. But yeah, they start young, man.
It could happen. It's all about lube.
It's just unacceptable.
We always said the first time you and I ever got on a fucking podcast together, just you and I, it'd be the first and last. So I hope everybody's enjoyed listening to my content over the years. This will be my final episode.
So far, I don't think we've said anything offensive. I mean, you cannot be offended by an iPad up a vagina, right? Like,
no.
Nothing about that is offensive.
As long as it's consensual.
Exactly. As long as the iPad's okay with it, whoever's vagina it is okay with it. Just get that iPad up there. Now, you probably can't have one with a case on it or a stand. So it's got to be, because, you know, iPads are thin, but you throw those rugged cases on them, they're getting pretty thick. And then if you open the stand, I don't know how it would get up there. I'm not sure. But look, I did watch my ex give birth to a human being, right? I'm sure you did.
Yep.
And the vagina. The vagina is an amazing thing. It is very much expandable. And I bet you if she wanted to, she could get an iPad up there. Not my ex specifically. Maybe. I don't know. We haven't hung out in a while, me and my ex, but just,
mine definitely
just someone. Yeah. Just terrible.
She could get like one of those pros, you know, the really big ones.
Hey, now. Real
one. Like a jitterbug.
That's it.
The jitterbug.
iPad. Yeah, it's about the type of, that's the age group for the women that I'm dating now. But yeah, jitterbug iPad up in China.
Oh. Well, 5 minutes in, off the rails. All right.
The fantasy football. Yeah. So 20 years ago, I started playing. Didn't think that it would lead to this conversation at the time.
Didn't think this is where you're going to end up, but here we are.
Here we are.
So I got to ask you, like, those first leagues, were they the super vanilla, gross type, the standard scoring, pretty much only touchdowns, that kind of shit?
Yeah, no PPR, so it was just points. It was just yards and touchdowns. Just yards and touchdowns. And it's so long ago that people would do things like draft Donovan McNabb in the first round.
Yuck.
But they might have done that to stack him with T.O. in the second. Maybe they had the 112 and they were showing off. It wasn't 112. I don't know who I'm kidding. It was like an 8-man league. No PPR. PPC wasn't even thought of. There was absolutely no super flex that I was playing in. I know I've listened to some other players that have been around for a long time, and they were playing like Devy leagues and stuff back then, which is bananas to me. Yeah.
Where the fuck was I when this shit was going on?
I was not playing in those. No, that, man, straight up standard, which is a completely different thing now when we say standard, right? We're like, oh, what do you mean? 12 team, or 12 team start 10, no tight end premium PPR with a small PPC. That's standard, right? No, these were basic bitch, just Karen leagues, man, like nothing to them. I don't even know what type of research went into them. Oh yeah. You would buy a magazine in May and your draft would be sometime early September and you would just go off that magazine. Yeah.
You got to kind of do the math in your head too of like who's dead, who just tore their knee up.
Yeah. You weren't even keeping track of that. Yeah, because what? We didn't have Twitter, right? Look, people don't understand how much of a struggle it was 20 years ago. Like internet was AOL. Like you had to put in effort to get online. It wasn't this like, oh, I just open up my laptop and I'm there. It was, I need to sit down and think about this. Do I really want to invest in this 15 minutes of trying to get online and hoping that my mom, dad, brother, cousin, sister, whoever's in the house doesn't pick up the phone and ruin it?
Yeah, I remember back in those days, not from the fantasy space, but, you know, taking like 30 minutes just to print off a naked picture so I could hide it under my bed, you know.
Porn was way different back then, too. People don't understand, man. Like AOL Messenger, ASL, what I mean? You go in there, ASX location. There was no way that she was 22, 5'4", blonde, 115 pounds, double Ds. But you know what? We just made believe. Like, sure. You tell me anything.
I was always 23, 6'4", 222 pounds, football player.
I love it. Yeah.
Working on getting a tryout with an NFL team.
How'd it go? Did you ever make the team?
No. Always just tried.
Yeah, man. It was different then. It was fun, right? It's not like now. You had to actually put effort into it. Now, and I don't mean that like from a what's the word I'm looking for? From a strategy perspective. That's not what I'm talking about. You had to actually put in an effort to find leagues, like to find people that wanted to play. And even back then, I used to get sad when the season would end. And I'd be like, well, what do we do now? And I didn't know Dynasty was a thing. I didn't know Dynasty was a thing until, I think, like 10 years ago. And when I discovered it, I was like, this is what I've been looking for my entire life. Like, this is what I was missing. This is why I was incomplete as a person. And I remember telling my ex that. And she said, I thought I completed you. And I said, oh, no, not at all. It was Dynasty football. This is what I needed. And so that marriage didn't work out. But, hey, I'm still playing Dynasty. So that's what's important.
No, baby, you're like a distant fourth.
Yeah, like you're way down there, way down the list.
I don't know if you make the top five, to be completely honest, but that's besides the point. Still yeah, love man. You.
But discovered Dynasty, like, I want to say 10, 11 years ago, and that was it, man. And back then, before I was a content creator or I was even on Twitter, you know, you'd go on to like DLF's forums. You go on Football Guys forums and just pretty much whore yourself out trying to find like leagues that you could get in. And you used to play in leagues with all these random people. And you jumped on the MFL, which looked exactly the same today as it did then. Although I've heard that they have made some upgrades, right? Right. They have made some upgrades.
I don't know. I don't play on that fucking trash platform. No offense, MFL.
Dude, I'm down, but I still have 11 leagues on there besides like all the fantasy eliminators and stuff like that, that I don't even pay attention to. But yeah, I still got like 11 leagues on there, but slowly but surely. And I was a dude that hated Sleeper. Like when Sleeper came out, I'm like, what is this mascot shit? Like, this is for kids. This is stupid. Get these damn robots out of here. And now, like, you could not pay me enough to join an MFL league with outside of special circumstances. Like, I actually did just join one last week, but it was for my dude, Scott. You know, Scott, obviously. Scott's like, hey, yeah, you need to be in this league. And it's like, all right, fine. You know, like, that's one of my true soulmates is Scott. So if Scott says I got to be in a league, I'm going to jump in the league. So I did join another MFL league. And it's actually with Ryan McDowell. So that's cool. Because, you know, when you broke into the industry, like, Ryan McDowell was like,
that's the dude.
Yeah, you were like, I want to talk to him someday. Like, that'd be awesome. And then eventually, yeah, I started doing content. I was driving. Saw Twitter. Someone was like, do you want to write about fantasy football? Not me specifically, because that would have been weird. But just in general, because you remember how many sites were out there back in the day. I mean, there's a lot now, but back in the day, it was the Wild West. Like, everybody wanted you to write for him for free. nobody could pay anything because there's so many sites. They're like, no, we got you on the next run. I promise at some point we're gonna pay you. And it was a site, it was a Dynasty Football Factory, and I started writing from them, and it was terrible. Me, the writer, as a writer, it is horrific, man. And it was player takey without any evidence supporting it other than I think this narrative, that just, you know what I mean? Like, you look back now and you're like, oof, I was like an infant back then. Like, I can't believe I wrote stuff, but I, you know, as much as I say it was bad, I was actually a decent writer because I always dreamed about being a writer when I was younger. So when I would write about fantasy football, I would just write about it kind of like as a writer would. At least I thought how a writer would, but also in like conversational style. So people seem to like it. And people always said like, oh, I can see your personality come through when you write. And then at one point, you know, I took over some management stuff there, which was a terrible idea. Did not enjoy running a site. It was absolutely dreadful. You know what it's like running a site, but
rough.
It's a lot of work. People think it's just fun and games, man. And there is good times. Definitely. Cause you love it, right? You wouldn't do it if you don't, but man, there would be some nights where it's like, you know, you edit 4 articles and you got to write your own. And then you got your real life stuff going on. And then you got your real life fantasy football stuff going on. And it was just a lot. So then me and my ex split up and I saw an out. I was like, all right, I'm going to use this as an excuse to stop doing something else I don't like. So I just messaged them like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Ended up over at DLF for a little bit. I had another show, Dynasty Trades HQ, which is where I met Scott. It's where I met Clay. We started doing Dynasty Trades in five. That just became my spot, you know. Last year, Destination Debbie came knocking. Ray was like, why don't you write for the site too? Since, you know, you already got this partnership with us. Started writing for them. And, you know, I say this to Ray, and I've said it to other people too, but it finally felt like I felt like a nomad, right? Because I've been in with four or five different sites I've written for. I've had three or four different podcasts. And it finally feels like I'm settled. Like I'm like, oh, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. Like it's I'm happy, you know? So that was a long ass story. That's a lot of talking. Jesus.
It was, wow, buddy. I was letting you cook.
Man, I just
enjoyed it.
I just ran through the whole lifespan. I left out some parts, but who cares?
You know? Did. That's what my job's for, to ask you the follow-up questions. What got you into doing content in the first place? Like when you first decided to start writing, where were you like, man, fuck it. I want to start writing about this. Even if it, like you said, all of our, I don't think there's a content creator out there who's got an early piece of work that I think they're proud of. They're like, this was good. I was really well informed. Everybody looks at their shit and goes, this was terrible. What the fuck was I doing?
Yeah. You know, you're like, I'm barely literate. Like I look at it now and I also like some of the old stuff. I'm like, I didn't use Grammarly back then, did I? Because this is even grammatically a mess. But so I used to actually write when I was young. So I actually won a couple awards when I was a young kid for writing. So I used to write short stories, poetry.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. I mean, and then I had some failings in life where I got away from school stuff and I got away from writing and did other things that brought me pleasure, like drugs, women, and kind of just stopped writing. And then I got my shit together at one point, went to college, but it was for business and it was just put away, you know? But yeah, I mean, as a kid up until my early teens, like I used to write all the time. So, you know, I found this passion, fantasy football, and I saw, like I said, DFF tweeted out like, hey, do you want to write? Like, we'll take a chance on you. And that was the one. That's another great thing about the Wild West is people just take a chance on you. You know, they're just like, sure, let's see what you got. I mean, and that was really it. I was like, I like to write. I'm a good writer, I think, from what I remember. I love fantasy football. How can I this is a perfect way to marry the two and just do it. And then, you know how it goes when you start doing content, like it evolves. I remember for the first 2-3 years that I was writing and doing other stuff at DFF, the actual owner of the site used to try to get me to do a podcast all the time. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, you've heard me speak. Like we've spoken on the phone. Like I'm not smooth. I'm not polished. I have this horrible Philly accent that I cannot get rid of. I don't want to do it. And he just kept pushing me and made me do it. And then I did podcasts and people are like, oh, I like you a lot. And I'm like, oh, I like when people tell me good stuff about me. So I'm going to keep doing this. You know, if I would have started doing podcasts and people were like, you suck. Can you just go away? I probably. Yeah. Like I'm going to delete all of this. Like I deleted Spotify just because of you, just because of the off chance that I might hear you again. But people weren't like that. So I was like, all right, I'm going to keep doing it, you know. And then you know this, it's an outlet, man. Like even though you're kind of like me in the sense, like yeah, we talk fantasy football. Obviously, that's what we do. But there's other shit that we let out, and I was always like that, like over the top, like sharing, and it just felt like this great outlet for me. So yeah, that's how I got started, and then doing the podcast and all that good stuff, and then Clay, like I said, Clay came knocking, like 2 or 3 years ago, was like, hey, I want to do this little 5-minute trade show with you and Scott. And me and Scott had a show together, Manic and Chill, for, I don't know, man, probably 6-7 years at this point now, You know, it's been through a few different iterations. It was on DLF. Then it was just me and him. Then it was on Trades and Five feed, but whatever. So we thought, yeah, you know what? That'd be kind of good to have like someone in between us kind of guiding us. Cause me and Scott get together and we just, you know, Scott, he goes on tangents and then I would do the same. And it's a great show. I love Mannequin Chill, but we were like, it'd be kind of cool if someone could like put guardrails on us and be like, no, get back here. We were talking about this. So yeah, we just started that little 5-minute trade show and it turned into what, an hour and a half stream on Tuesdays. And then, you know, just started the Discord last year. So we do AMAs and all types of fun stuff. So I don't know what the original question was.
I love it. Oh, you're good, man. Yeah, I think you answered it. But
okay,
I'm with you on a lot of those points, man. Doing content is kind of an outlet for me too, where it's I just get to go on and be myself. And I always kind of tell Adam for us when I do content with him, when I get to put the chains on and the shades on, and you know, pour up a nice big glass of vodka, I get to be the person that I want to be, right? Like so much in life, you have to put on that facade and be reserved. And, you know, like I can't say this shit out loud in public or people are going to think I'm a psychopath or what the fuck is wrong with this guy. But when you get to do content, it's like you guys are tuning in for me. I get to actually be me. I don't have to be fake me. So I'm with you, man. You made a lot of great fucking points about that. I got to ask you, though. The first time you do video work, at least for me, was fucking, I was paranoid out my ass. Like, I'm like, I'm an ugly ass dude. Why the fuck is anybody going to tune in and watch this shit? What was that like for you, like, kind of overcoming that little bit of a hurdle? You know, doing audio is one thing because you think people are going to make fun of you for your voice or your accent or he doesn't speak so well or you can hear that fat fuck breathing in the microphone. But, like, that's a different story. But when you get on video, it's like, oh, now they really get to rip you for how you look.
So a couple of things if I got past the podcasting part, right? So if anyone's listening to this show for the first time and is listening to me for the first time, first thing they're thinking is like I said, oh my God, his accent is brutal. It's fucking trash. Like I want to punch that dude in the face. And like I said, the other thing is I'm not polished. Like I listen to these other podcasts and you know, we listen to many fantasy football podcasts and these dudes sound like they went to grammar school. I don't know if that's a school for just grammar. Sure. They can recite facts just off the rip, never make a mistake. So after doing 3-4 years of a podcast and getting over that hurdle, that's what I was scared of, was like, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, and like you said, talking about how, you know, you're yourself. I was on myself on the podcast. So like if people would accept that, basically some of the things I would say on the podcast, because I'm actually a little more conservative than I don't do some of the jokes that I did when I first started doing podcasts. You know, people change over 6-7 years.
You grew up a little bit, right?
You realize like, oh, you can't really joke about that because that is actually kind of offensive, and also people don't know that you're doing I don't want to say a bit, but like they don't understand you're being sarcastic or meta about it. Like a lot of people just take shit like, oh, he said this and this. It's like, no, it was deeper than that, but you can't explain. So anyway, once I was able to get past that, video was nothing to me, really. Because I'll say this, and I don't mean to sound like this. I've never been concerned about my looks, right? I'm generally okay in that department for the most part. You know what I mean? Most people think I'm decently enough attractive that I'm not worried about.
Yeah, I'm attracted to you in person. Right. You know, like I got to keep myself off of you when we meet up at the expo.
I'm not like, so, you know, I'm not JJ Zacharyson hot. Like, you know what I mean? Like you see that.
That's a good looking dude.
He's a good looking motherfucker. Like I am. And again, I'm not gay. Maybe. But if I were. Or if I was going to be, like, if I had a choice in the matter, right? You're born that way. But if I could choose to be gay, that's probably the dude I would do it with. He's a good-looking man, and he's a fantasy football genius. I'm not that good-looking.
Give me the analytics. Give me the analytics. Oh,
yeah, that would definitely be the code. I'd definitely be on my stomach asking for the analytics.
Spread my sheets.
Let me see your model. but no, man, like the video, like I said, that was never nerve wracking for me. It was the actual, once I got past the talking part, if I could get through a podcast, that's I was good. And that's when I used to be really nervous doing podcasts. And like I said, you get past that, the rest of it was gravy for me. Really, it really wasn't that hard.
You have been on an absolute tear here this last year. Just your success and how big you guys have gotten. Dynasty Trades and Five is fucking everywhere. Your work at Destination Devi is fantastic. Like, what has like really been the motivating factor? Like, is there anything that you can point to, or is it just a roller coaster that you're on? You're just along for the ride, or has there been like a turning point where you're like, I'm gonna put in a little more effort, or like, this is becoming more real for me, where this is gonna be a fucking thing?
So, well, whatever. They don't listen to the show anyway. So the last last year at this time, when I saw you at the expo, I was still on another show at that time too, right? And doing Dynasty Trades and Five. So I was splitting my time. But I was really unhappy where I was with the other show. And a big part of that was I wasn't with people that put in the grind, that didn't put in the work like I did. And in fairness to them, they had other shit going on and it's not a passion of theirs. So they didn't want to put in that effort. Like, there wasn't that motivation. To me, this has always been, I enjoy this. You know what I mean? I love this. So I say it and I'm not kidding. Like, I actually do love this. Like, this is awesome to get to talk about Dynasty Fantasy Football and then meet really cool people along the way. Some really not cool people, but whatever, you discard them. That's like any part of life. So being able to just focus on the one show and be with people that I knew would work as hard as me, and in Scott's case, work harder than me, that, you know, being with Scott every day is kind of like a shit, I got to keep up with this dude. You know, I got to bring something to the table besides just being the funny dude. That comes naturally. So I definitely need to, I don't want to say step up my game, but I need to keep pace with him. Like, I'm never going to be Scott, because not many people can, because that dude's just a flat out genius. But I can be me, and I can be the best version of me. And this sounds like a self-help book now, and I swear it's not. But also, you know, I did an article last year for Destination Devi, Follow the Volume, and literally just about snap share and target rate, all yards per target, all that good stuff. You know what I mean? All the back end stuff that gets you to the points per game. And I remember sending my first article over to the editor, and he was like, damn, like, this is really good. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's funny, even at how old I am, when someone tells you that they appreciate you, especially when you, I don't remember ever getting that before. Like, people would say, like, oh, yeah, your work's good, whatever. But, like, whatever sites I was with, it wasn't like, wow, like, the work is really good. Like, this is really good. And that kind of sparked me. Because, again, like, I think a lot of people just look at me and they're like, oh, he's just a funny dude. Like, they don't. And that's partly my fault, because I joke around all the fucking time, right? I can't help it. It's just my natural way. But I think a lot of people look at me and they're like, well, he doesn't bring anything else to the table. So, for me, like, Ray and Jay Rich over there, like, them recognizing, like, oh, you're not just like a funny dude. You know what I mean? And Scott, I said this to him before too, like, he's one of those people, like, from years back, like, he treated me like, oh, you're not just a funny guy. Like, you're actually sharp at this. But just, I think having that, I don't want to say that, what's the word? Getting that, gratitude's not the word I'm looking for. And this is why podcasts are hard for me, because I can't think of words. And they're important when you do podcasts.
You need words.
Words, good. just someone like telling you that you're good at something, like, is trite as it seems. It's like, oh shit, like, I want to keep doing that, you know? And it's as simple as that for me. And like I said, I love what I do. You know what I mean? I love the team that I'm with. Like, it's just, it's, they're a driving motivational force.
You can feel it. And I've said this to other people and other guests on the space, so people that I fucking respect a hell of a lot too, but you can tell when somebody's really fake at doing this, like, when their heart really isn't into doing the content, or or my biggest one is I can tell people who don't play in actual dynasty leagues, like competitive dynasty leagues, because they talk out of their ass. And I'm like, buddy, I can have the same conversation with fucking Bob at my job, and it's going to sound the exact same way, where he has no idea what the fuck is going on. He doesn't know who's hurt, who's going to be in line for a lot of touches this year, who's in line for the number two RB role in Philadelphia this year, whatever the case may be. I think just having that passion that you put behind it, it comes through. It comes through because, like you said, you do love what you do. And I think that's why you've had so much success, Shane. Like, you have been on a fucking tear here this last year. I've watched the success, the train go up, and I love it for you, man. I'm so happy for you. Like, you look like you're in a good fucking space, that you're really happy every time I talk to you. So, first off, I went on a tangent there of just, you know, jerking you off live on air. So no, good on me.
Good. Good.
Yeah, you like that?
I need a nap.
I hawked to it and spit on that thing just a little bit, but I think you and I have always vibed because we both kind of bring that same energy, right? Where we both feel like we're good in the space and we do what we're supposed to, but we also just like to bring that little comedy element and, you know, talk like we're 14 again, like we're fucking eighth grade and
I think that's
trying to get laid for the first time.
I think there's 100% of, and I get it too, because I know there's successes I haven't had because I don't know how to be a little fake. And I don't mean it to sound like that. So maybe a little more front facing friendly type, like, you know, like someone you could put on SiriusXM and not be concerned that he was going to get you fined. Someone that you could put on a Yahoo a video and again, not be concerned that he's going to demonetize your platform. And I just, as much as I would like to do that, I don't have the self-control. So it's not like even I'm trying to do it. It's just, I don't have the self-control to bite my tongue. And it's just who we are as people, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. I couldn't jump on here and not be fully me because I would suck. I wouldn't even know how to go about it. Like, I would just be, I wouldn't even do a show. I wouldn't. If I wasn't fully me. And like I said, as years have gone on, I've realized, like, oh, and part of it's having kids and my kids getting older, going, oh, I can't say that. That is absolutely horrible. Like, that is, you cannot say things like that because that is hurtful and just not good. And you're raising little men and you don't want them to be that type of person that thinks it's okay to say shit like that. But outside of that, still the same dude.
So let me ask you about then, home life. What's that like? You know, what are you at with kids, boys, girls? How old? How are we doing with that raising young men?
Two boys, 15 and 12, and they are my absolute dudes. Like, they are my, I love those kids to pieces. Everybody loves their kids, I hope. Shit, I don't know many parents are, I hope, like, so. I hate that kid. That middle one, oh, I'd fucking murder him. But no, I love them. I love who they're becoming. You know what I mean? And especially over the last year, both of them have gotten more into sports. So my little dude did karate from like the age of like six, but he didn't like other sports. He started playing basketball over the last couple of years. Then he started getting into football last year. And now the older one never liked sports, right? He's just not a sports dude. But now he's getting into football. And like, one of my proudest moments is, they're just spending all their time. We just got a PlayStation 5 that they saved up for, which made me proud of them. But they bought a PlayStation 5 last week, and they've been doing nothing but playing college football Glory Road for like a week straight. And I know it's like, oh, go outside. But no, I'm like, no. My kids are playing a sports game. This is freaking awesome. You don't understand. And my older one, so if anyone's ever seen like my TikTok reels and stuff from Shane Says, you criticize it, I'll punch you in the fucking face. It's my 15-year-old doing the videos for me because he wanted a job and he couldn't find one because he's 15 and it's limited jobs. And I'm like, bro, do videos for me. Like, do little reels. Like, just watch other fantasy football shows, see what they do. Just do them. Try it. Because, like, frankly, if people don't like them, I don't give a shit. You're getting experience. You'll get better at it. And it's a tool you can use. But also, it's a sneak move by me to get him more in the football, because now he'll be talking to me about players, and he doesn't even realize, like, I'm getting him into to really like football. So, yeah, just the two boys that we know of. I say that we know of, that I'm aware of, or at least I acknowledge.
I feel like I'm in it with you, though. Yeah, like, we're both in the same boat. Like, you know, I got three girls that I'm aware of.
Right. Look, there's been many mistakes made along the way. So if, like, some 20-year-old dude came up to me and was like, "Dad," I would not be like, "Oh, no, this is impossible." I'd be like,
"No way."
Yeah, that sounds right. Like, bro, what's your mom look like again?
Motherfucker really does kind of look like
me. That's it, man. Honestly, those two, and, you know, like I said, I'm separated from their mom. So during the school year, I don't get to see them much during the week. So on the weekends, it's just me and them. In the summer, because I don't get to see them as much as I want to during the school year, it's me and them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even want to do anything else other than either hang out with them or fantasy football. Like, there's not a lot in between. Like, you know, I date it for a few years, and I'm not saying I'm done with that forever, but, like, I'm just like, it's a lot of work for not a lot of payoff. Like, I don't have the energy to get to know someone that I know I'm not going to like anyway. So let me just, I'll chill with my kids, and, you know, I'm good. I'm good. That's home life. My kids. That's all I need right now.
We decided tonight that Hen and Hooker was really popular for a certain reason. So, you know, I feel that where you're coming from, where the dating scene sometimes sucks. So,
yeah, it's just, you know, anyone, I don't know how many people watching this know what it's like actually trying to date at 40, not just smash. You know what I mean? Like, there's smashing's cool, definitely. You know what I mean? But I like,
I'm all for it.
Great, cool. That part, that's fine. Like, if you just, but actually trying to date someone, like going through the whole get to know them process, like, there's only so many times I can ask someone, like, what do you do for a job? Where do your kids, do they live with you, or do they live with their dad most of the time? What happened in your marriage? Like, I don't have it in me. I need a little break from that. Like, I don't want to have the same conversations, and that's all they are.
Do you lose them when you start talking super flex strategy?
Like, honestly, like, all I need to see on someone's dating app is, like, just something about fantasy football, and I'll be like, that's the one. Like, let's
where were you made? Heaven?
Yeah, let's just get married. You know, I don't mean to be too forward, but that's it. We're done. How many leagues are you in? You're in 13 leagues? Oh, shit. Yeah, it's kismet.
So this is a weird thing. You know, I've had Bob Harris on here, and I always I talk about Bob as being, like, the godfather of fantasy football for me, and Bob is such a cool dude. But I grew up listening to Bob Harris and reading Bob Harris and Football Index, like this kind of thing. The Football Diehards was a staple of my drive home for years. And I think about, like, where Bob's at in his life now and what he's doing and the good stuff he's still putting out, and Bob's still having a good time and still being that guy. Do you ever wonder, and maybe this is just my fucked up brain, I'm like, how long can we do this for? Like, at what point do we just become weird or old? Like, do we ever achieve that elite status of the Bob Harris where you're grandfathered in forever? Or do we just become that old, like, 60-year-old dude that people are going, like, what the fuck is your problem, man? Go like, carve wood or something.
That's a thin line, right? It is a thin line, because there's Bob Harris, and then there's a bunch of old weird dudes.
bunch of old weird dudes.
No, you know, so I have this weird, I don't know if it's a weird thing, right? But to me, like, 50 is death. Like, once I'm 50, life is over, is how I'm looking at it right now. 50. Yeah, 50. Now, I keep pushing it back, because when I was 20, it was like 25. When I was 28, it was 30. When I was 30, it was 35, like, et cetera, et cetera. So who knows how I feel when I'm 50. But I think as long as we're still ourselves, right? We're not trying to be, we're not trying to change who we are to fit the times. Like, Bob is just who Bob is, right? Like, that's just, and I think the same thing when I look at Bob, and I'm like, that dude is just, like, he just recently got married in the last few years, right? He's still doing his thing on Sirius XM. He comes to the events. He's a cool dude, just a really good guy. Be that guy. You can do it as long as you want, I think, right? But 50 is death. I mean, so probably 50 step.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'll
look, there's a reason I'm getting in all the fun, good times with my kids now. Like, I'm trying to, like, hey, make some memories, because in 5 years, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be here, man. 50 sounds awful.
Speaking of bastard kids, just hypothetically, I was thinking about it the other day. You know, if I were to have a bastard child now, like that, I'd be 55 when that kid graduated. And I'd be like, I'm not ready for that kind of shit. Like, I can't be 55 and having an 18-year-old. Like, that doesn't work for me, because I'm kind of like you. It feels like once I turn 50, like, I'm good. Like, I'm thinking about pina coladas and beaches and shit.
Bro, so part of it is, when I was growing up, I literally didn't see life beyond, like, 18. You know what I mean? It was just, that's the environment I grew up in, and a lot of people died young or were locked up. So it was hard to see in the future. Like, it was. And for whatever reason, you know, those are your formative years. Even as an adult now, 30 years away from that, you know what I mean? 30 years away from those experiences, maybe a little less than that. How old am I? 45? No, like 30. Wait, no, maybe 15. Yeah. So, like,
I got some fingers if you need help.
Whatever. A long time ago. It's your formative years. It still affects how you think today. It definitely does. So, like, that's why, like, 50, I think, partly feels like death to me too, because I'm just short-sighted. Like, I can't even imagine, like, wait, there's 20 more years of this? Wait, 30 more years of this? That's bananas. In some cases, 40 more years of this? That's literally an entire other extra lifetime from right now. But to me, in my brain, it's just like, nah, you're done at 50. But I know once I get there, like everything else, once you get there, you're like, no, this is fine. I'm going to be all right. Like, there's more stuff to do. I think with the 50 thing to me, though, is I'm more concerned with how young are the women that I'm banging at that point, and how weird is it? So, like, I can't be 50 banging 20-year-olds, right? Like, that's strange.
That's true.
Right? I think that's something wrong with that. You know what I mean? Whatever. God bless you if you do it. But I still think you're fucked up if you're 50 and you're banging 20-year-old girls. 25-year-old women.
When do I gotta cut that off? Like 40?
No. 40's fine.
We're good. 50. We're still
50's a cutoff. 50, like, you can't do that shit anymore. You better move up to no younger than 35 is what
I was just thinking, my oldest is 17. So when I think of 20-year-olds,
yeah, no. So you have daughters, and she's 17. I need a wide berth from that age range for it not to be weird. Like, they can't.
Like 30's got to be my low ball cutoff.
Yeah, like, they need to be, like.
Like, if they call me bruh, they're too young.
Yeah. If they grew up on TikTok and Instagram.
If they tell me I'm risen on them or whatever, it's too fucking young for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you shouldn't riz on people. I know.
I don't know.
I mean, like, all right. Whatever they're into, that's fine. But yeah, if they're using words like riz, probably too young to be.
I've been married for 10 years. I don't know what the streets are like, Shane. I'm a house cat.
I just go off what my kids tell me, and you know, they definitely, yeah, they use the word riz, and it makes me uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. But you know, whatever. Yeah. So if a girl's saying that, it definitely way too young. So. Yeah, you're how old again?
37, my friend.
All right, so let's just say you get
and we look vastly different. I mean, you're in your 40s. I'm in my 30s still. But if you were to ask which one of us is in our 40s, you are not going to be the first choice. Just say that. So apparently bacon makes you look old. That's the only thing I can think of. Like, lots of bacon makes you look older.
I don't think you look older than me. I gotta be honest with you.
Oh, I definitely do. It's just because I have fat cheeks.
Well, those are like cherubs. So, like, you're like this perpetual, like, the cherub's a child or an angel.
And I sweat a lot, so I'm not ashy sweat. Or anything. You know, so the skin's real nice
you're
and
glistening.
Moist. But
you're a glistening cherub.
That's bacon grease.
That's bacon. Whatever you're doing, I think it looks wonderful. I think it looks great.
Stop jerking me off, all right?
So, yeah,
it's supposed to be about you.
If you and the wife get divorced, you can't bang anyone under 30.
Fuck.
Yeah, or open up your marriage. Whatever. That's between you guys. You know, whatever makes you all happy.
I don't like talking to people in their 30s, man. They're boring as shit.
I generally don't like talking to people at all. But,
well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be mean. So I'm not going to be mean. We've been keeping it friendly. So I'm not going to be mean to anyone in general. People are wonderful, but I don't like talking to most of them. But yeah, 30 for you. Once I hit 50, though, like, yeah, 35. Anything other than that, I think, is weird. Definitely weird. Because we're not rock stars. If we're rock stars, it's different. You know what I mean?
Then
we're
different, yeah.
Or Bill Belichick.
Or athletes.
Yeah, then it's different. You know, then you could be 55 and your wife is, you know, 26. Then apparently
you don't think, like, fantasy football, like, we get to be athletes? I mean, we're like esports. Can we be esports?
So is this...
Does that count?
I'm going to say, looking at the two of us, no, we can't be athletes. You and I. No.
We could be bowlers.
Cornhole. Bowling. Flip golf.
Darts.
Is go-karts a sport? Go-karts?
Could be.
Pair it up.
Maybe a little curling. We could do some curling.
Wait, is that on ice? I'll fall.
Well, I've seen him use that broom, and it's just really fast jerking off, and I'm a speed demon.
What's the bar game where you throw the it's the long table and you slide the metal jaw and you try to knock the other dude's metal jaw off?
Yeah.
That game.
Yeah, we could do that. But that's old people.
Yeah, so basically drunken barbecue or bar games, we could be considered athletes. Got that. Definitely.
Got it.
Yeah. Not no real sport. No, that shit would end badly.
Well, speaking of aspirations, are you a guy that's kind of goal-driven, or you just kind of go with the flow? So just in general with content, do you have, like, goals that you're trying to hit, that you're trying to drive, or you're just along for the ride, just enjoying the ride as you kind of go and just trying to bring your best every single day?
I have goals. I do. A lot of my goals aren't quantifiable, though, right? So... Just because of the nature of who I am, I crave people liking me and respect. Like, those are my goals. Like, if I'm being 100, like, I don't think people say being 100 anymore. I'll ask
Yeah, keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
That's still a thing. That's
We're keeping
thing.
It buck. Can we still say that?
I don't think anybody says that anymore, We could bring it back. All right. Keep it a buck.
Keep it a buck. Yeah, man, I want people's respect and... I you know, I shouldn't even say like, because I care about what some people like me, but I do want people to respect me. Like, so when people are like, oh, that was a really good point on blah, 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 Shane says, whatever. Like, I never thought of that. And people saying stuff like that to me, like, that's my goal. Numbers, it's hard to say, right? Because there's some shows and some podcasts that I've done or live streams that I've done, and I'm like, dude, we crushed that. Like, we've absolutely killed that. I'm really, I don't want to say proud of, because that's kind of weird, but I'm really, like, I really think we did awesome on that. And then I'll look at the numbers and I'll go, wow, really? Like, apparently no one else agreed with me because the numbers are low. And then there's been shows that we've done where I'm like, dude, I sucked. That was awful. Like, I was not feeling it. And people will tell you otherwise, and the numbers will tell you otherwise. So I figure, because I'm just, I don't want to say soldier, because I'm not, obviously, but I hate when people use that term. I'm a worker bee, right? So as long as that's what I like, give me my orders, I'm a do it. And as long as the people above me are cool with it, that means that the numbers are what there should be, and they're happy with the quality of it. And to me, that's enough, right? Because I don't own a site. So if I owned a site, I'd be like, we need these numbers, you know. Because when I managed the site, that was my goals. It was all, how many views did we get on that article? How many downloads did we get on that podcast? And I got to be honest with you, I did not like that. Like, it wasn't something that I enjoyed, having to track numbers all the time and feeling like if we didn't do a certain SEO number that we did badly, you know? And I understand, for a bottom line for a site, that's what's important. But for me, I want you to hit those numbers. I definitely do. But I want to be the guy that helps you hit those numbers, not the guy that's watching those numbers.
That probably means I'm in the wrong position running South Harmon, Because Shane, I give zero fucks. I really do. Like, I like to see big shiny numbers. It's always good, right? You go to fucking Dave and Buster's. I like to set the high score, but it doesn't fucking matter in the long run. And that's kind of how I treat our website, where I don't pay enough attention. Anybody who comes here and works for us, I usually tell them the same thing. As long as you're giving good effort and you're putting your heart into it and you're doing it and you're enjoying it, that's all I fucking want. Because if you can keep it authentic, eventually all that bullshit will come afterwards. So I think I'm probably in the wrong yeah, realm. Maybe I need somebody in there who's like, listen, we ain't hitting this fucking number. Let's get up there. We need to make this a little bit better, buddy.
Nah, I think you're in the perfect position because you're giving people the correct like motivation. Like, yeah, go out there, have fun, give me quality. Like, don't suck. You know what I mean? It's one thing if you want to go out there and have fun, but you blow. Like, hey, I'm happy you're having a great time, but you're kind of ass. So go have a great time somewhere else. But no, it's like you get people motivated to go out there and just, like you said, be authentic, have fun, but give me quality while you're doing that. You know, that's a good management tool. I'm in management in my real job, my real world day job. I should say day job. Cause I damn near put the same amount of hours in, but my day job, I'm in management and it's the same thing, except that, you know, I don't tell people have fun, but I do try to keep the mood lighter. So people don't feel like, oh shit, if I don't hit my numbers this month, I'm gonna be in Shane's office getting yelled at. Cause that's just not a good motivational tool. It's a terrible motivational tool.
It is.
Like fear.
Fear is not a good one.
No, fear is absolutely a terrible tool. It works for a very short amount of time. You can get maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months out of people, but then they resent you, the work suffers, and they leave. And also, you're an asshole. And generally, as much as I try to play one on TV, I don't like the feeling of being an asshole to people because it's just not a good feeling. So I think you're in the right spot for it.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you've got other people to watch the numbers too, right? You've got a partner.
Just make them do it.
Right, fuck it. Adam, that's your problem. You worry about that. You be the asshole.
Cody,
you be
the Maddie, heavy. This is what you get to do. Congratulations, dickheads. You study numbers. Shane, for the last few minutes I got you here, bud. We're both Eagles fans, so we got to talk about this. How the fuck did you become an Eagles fan for you, and when did it start? Like, when did real fandom, not just bullshit, but when did the real fandom start for you?
So, from Philly, obviously.
There you go.
Philly is probably one of the most, what's a word I'm looking for? I'm not territorial, right? That's not the word. Insular is also not the word. But like, we don't like other fucking people. We don't like other cities, states, even next to us. Like, we hate Pittsburgh. We hate New York. We hate Boston. That's because of Lil Bro Syndrome. So most Philly fans, like people born in Philly, we don't venture outside of like there's none of that. Oh, well, this is my second favorite team. Like, no, bitch, we got one team. You got one team. That's yours. That's your birthright. And they're probably going to disappoint you most of your life. You get one championship and you're going to go fucking wild and climb up poles because you know you're not getting many more. And then I used to watch the Eagles with my grandpa. My dad wasn't in the sports at all, but my grandpa was, and I just remember going over his house and watching the Eagles on CBS with like Reggie White, Jerome Brown. Like, if you were gonna start watching football, like, that's the time to do it. Those great Kelly Green uniforms they had at one point, and then, like I said, that defense, it was the best defense of all time. Anyone tells you different, they don't know ball. I got to fuck say off. That I'm pretty sure that's the first time I've ever said that. But yeah, good. Man, that's just, you're from Philly. You're going to love and hate, mostly hate your teams. But even now, like when I had free will, I was old enough to be like, hey, I could choose another team. Can't do it, man. I love the Eagles. It's just, you do. And like I said, most of the moments have not been great, but there's been some really fun times. And when they won the Super Bowl, people laugh at me. I'm like, yo, I cried. I flat out cried. I haven't cried a lot of times in my life. You know, people dying. Sometimes I'll cry over that shit. You know, your kids are first born, whatever. Not everyone does. I did. And the Eagles won a Super Bowl, man. I didn't like full on, like, you know, break down on the floor and cry like, oh, get them up. But like, dude, there was tears. It was in, and it, maybe it's stupid because it's just this game that I ain't got anything to do with, you know, but I did. And now I just need him to win that second Super Bowl so we can feel less little bro. I'm more interested in how did you become an Eagles fan?
I became an Eagles fan 1996. I was in fifth grade. I was in a hospital because we had a we had like a fall camp. And it turns out I'm allergic to horses. And one of the things we were doing there was horseback riding. So my fucking face and everything swelled up. So I'm sitting in a hospital bed on like a Monday night by myself in the hospital, fifth grade, 10 years old. Eagles are playing the Dallas Cowboys. And everybody around me at that time, you know, 96, people are dick riding the Dallas Cowboys. And I fucking couldn't stand them. I hated them. Hated them with a passion. Same way I hated the fucking Bulls of that era with a passion. And the Eagles are playing and they are taking the Cowboys to the fucking woodshed. Now, I don't think they ended up winning the game, but I remember being just so enthralled with the defense at the time. You had Bobby Taylor. You remember that big, tall, long, lanky fucking cornerback we used to have? I used to love that guy
to death. Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent. Those were the days.
It was perfect. I was aware of the Eagles because at that time, you know, I'm playing fucking Madden or, you know, I think Madden might have been out by then, but Tecmo Bowl before that or whatever. So I knew about the Eagles just casually, but watching the Eagles on Monday night take it to the Cowboys solidified it for me. And plus, they used to have that full wing helmet, and my high school had the same wing, just in different colors. So I was like, oh, it's kind of like my high school team, but, you know, in the NFL level. So I was hooked from the jump. They were fucking horrible for multiple years after that, but I didn't give a shit. I was like, that was the team that was going to take it to Dallas. So, but I'm with you about the Super Bowl thing. I was so jacked up after we won the Super Bowl. I drove around for 45 fucking minutes by myself in my truck just so I could, like, come down. I just played fucking Meek Mill on repeat.
Yeah, man.
Just fucking blasted it out. I had to stop at, like, every gas station I could find just to show off all my fucking Eagles jersey I was wearing, my hat, my chain, the whole fucking works, and just be like, well, hell of a fucking game, wasn't it? And nobody gives a fucking Iowa that the Eagles won right. The Super Bowl except for me.
Except for around me. Like, we did it. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? We. Yeah,
didn't matter.
It's funny. That Meek Mill song, fuck, just perfect, man. I remember
going. Still play it today.
Yeah, going to the parade. And just, I don't even know how many people were there, man. It felt like 4 million. I don't know how many it was. It was ass to ass, like just dick to ass. Just, it was packed, man. Like there was
lots of dicks.
Just no room. And just people just singing along, rapping along to that, like repeatedly, just over and over again. And it just was like, yeah, this dude, like he caught a vibe, like he knew it was coming because this shit is perfect for that, man. Yeah, and still even now, like, you know, I'll just have my radio, my playlist on. Doesn't matter what type of music I'm listening to, it comes on. I'm like, yeah, here we go.
Got it.
Yep.
Got it. Nailed it. So let me ask you then, through your entire Eagles fandom, you had to pick one quarterback for one season. Who you taking? Who's your number one?
Randall. Without a doubt.
That's why you're my guy, Shane.
Dude, Randall was so ahead of his time, man. Like,
could you imagine what he'd be like if he was in today's game?
He'd be better than Lamar Jackson. He would be better than Josh Allen. He would be better than, well, everybody that probably not named Pat Mahomes. That simple.
And he could fucking punt.
Yeah. a dude had a cannon for an arm. Like, he ran. It was unlike, dude, he was just, and it's not childhood nostalgia. Like, this dude was next level. Like, he was. It's just a shame the Eagles gave him nothing. Like, they gave him no coaching. Like, the literal coaching was go out there and make a play because he was athletic and it was a different time, right? They didn't know what to do with that. Now, shit, you know, let Shane Steichen get his hands on someone like him. You know what I mean? Like, Randall would put up, and I don't even think I'm trying to be hyperbolic. My dude would put up 45 touchdowns a year. Like, between rushing and throwing, he would do that. He would do that. Like, you saw him that one season in Minnesota when he had some offensive structure. He had some offensive coaching. And yes.
Ooh, had some Randy Moss, yes, too.
And he definitely had good receivers, really good receivers. I will say that. But you saw that one season what he could have been with some coaching, man. And it's a shame, man. But yeah, and that's what I'm assuming if I get him today, it's him as a young man, but with today's coaching. because that would just be lethal. Because if it was 65-year-old Randall Cunningham, he would get absolutely murked out there.
Poor guy.
I love Randall, but yeah, they'd break his hip. You know what I mean? He'd be no good.
All right. Eagles Mount Rushmore for you. You got four people to put up there. Who's going on your Mount Rushmore? I knew that would be the 101.
I mean, how could it be anyone but him? Man, you could tell my certain errors. Jerome Brown, Reggie White. This is hard.
The fourth one's tough.
Yeah, man. Because this is the last one you get to put on there, and it's none of that Tommy mm-hmm. McDonald bullshit. Chuck Bednarik, get out of here with that nonsense. Oh, he played both ways at 200 pounds in the 1912s. Shut up.
Stevie Van Buren.
Stevie Van Buren. Oh, you don't know what he was. A great running back. Like, dude, he ran a 7.9, a 7.940. Like, he was smoking on the sidelines. It's not the same
Harold
thing.
Harold Carmichael.
Dude, Harold Carmichael was nice, though. I will say that.
He was nice. He was nice. 6'7 receiver, yeah. Man.
Mike Quick was nice. Definitely not Jaws. I love Eric Allen, man. I can't believe I'm going like all defensive guys.
All D, man. Look at you go.
Wait a minute. I said Randall, right? I did say Randall.
Hey, you got Randall up there.
Randall. No, yeah, that's it. Randall, B-Dawg, Jerome Brown, Reggie White. That's it.
I'll take it, man. B-Dawg's definitely going on for mine. My personal favorite, Jeremiah Trotter's got to go on there for me.
Dude, I love the X, man.
I love the X, man.
Dude, when they cut him, I was just like, what are you doing, man?
Jason Kelsey's going on. I know it's a new one.
See, yeah, that can't be four. There's got to be four offensive and four defensive. And then the problem is, yeah, on offense, and you're like, sure, I guess I'm throwing Jason Kelsey on there. How about Trey Thomas, John Runyon? Like, they've had just mauling offensive line.
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters was an absolute Hall of Famer. I wish he would have. Is he still playing? Like, that dude was playing last year.
He might be coming back for, like, his 44.
Bro, give it up. You're like Eminem. Put down the pen. You're not getting any better. Like, stop it. Ruining your legacy. Yeah, those would be my four.
Last one to piss you off. Worst draft pick of your lifetime as an Eagles
fan. Jalen Reagor.
Oh, wow. Jalen Reagor. Okay.
I talked myself into it being a good pick, too. Like, I had, like, Stockholm syndrome that night.
Me too.
I'm like, no, you don't understand. See, he fits their system better than Justin Jefferson. What? And what makes it even worse is Dallas taking CeeDee Lamb, like, right before the Eagles.
Yes.
And that's the dude I really wanted. Like, that is the dude I really, really wanted. And then we ended up with, he wasn't the worst wide receiver of the draft, but it was definitely up there considering who he went between.
It's very fair. I mean, even Ayuk went after him. We could have had Brandon.
Yeah, Ayuk would have been better. Yeah. There's about 15 wide receivers that would have been better in that class. But the fact that CeeDee Lamb went right before him and JJ went literally right after him.
I wasn't going to dunk on Jalen Reagor too hard. Danny Watkins has always been my
fireman.
You know, fucking 28-year-old guard from Canada. Great
dude
pick.
Didn't even like football.
No.
He did not even like football. My dude.
Marcus Smith could be in the conversation.
He was awful. He was awful. The Eagles have had some.
Didn't do shit.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Second rounder at least, so I could at least wrap my head like, okay, at least it wasn't a first rounder.
Before our time, there was some NFL lineman or offensive lineman that they drafted that got suspended for using coke and never started a game in the NFL. I don't even remember his name. It doesn't matter. It's before our time. Kevin Allen, maybe?
Yep.
I think that's
him.
He
had that Boston College offensive lineman, too, who fucking was terrible.
Mike Mamula?
Mike Mamula.
Oh, my God. Mike Mamula. Jesus. No, this is I'm going to have to go look up some bad Eagle draft picks and just reminisce.
We had some years, man.
There's bad years.
You had some bad years. All right, Shane. This has been a good one. I don't think we got canceled. We started off with iPads and vaginas, but that was consensual, so everybody's happy. Just as long as you don't put the covers on. But let the people know where they can find all your good work, man. You're doing so much good stuff. And when? I always say where you can find it, but when? Like, what days should we be fucking tapping in to catch Shane?
Tuesday nights, Tuesday nights, right? 8:30 to 10. There you go. 8:30 to 10 Tuesday nights on YouTube.
He's like fucking surprised. You're like, when do I do this shit again?
Fuck. That Shane says my own show. Scott and Ray forced me to do a show, making me branch out. But Shane says on Fridays when I actually do it, it's on the Destination Devi YouTube, and then it's on the Wake Up podcast feed. So yeah, that. And then I don't know if I'm writing this year or just doing all, what's the word I'm looking for? Audio content. Yeah. Audio and visual content. Definitely not visual content. It sounds like I'm doing porn and I'm not. Maybe. But yeah, YouTube shows and podcasts, you know, those two definitely might be more added to it. We'll see.
What's the OnlyFans handle?
At Shane is, no, it's Johns is the Johns. OnlyJohns.com. That's what it was.
Cooper to Johns?
Yeah.
Oh, we got that connection, man. Shane, thank you so much for coming on, buddy. It's always good to get to chop it up with you. We made it through.
We did.
I don't think we got canceled. Nah, we're good. I can't wait to hang out with you again, man, at the expo next year. That's always a good time running into you since fucking last year. First time that we actually met in person. It was just a vibe from day one, man. You're a dude. You're a dude. And I respect you a lot in the space. You do really good shit. So appreciate having you on. And listen, I don't know who the fuck's following Shane, but good luck to you. Good luck to whoever the fuck else can get on this show after Shane, because it won't be anything like this. But until next time, everybody, it's me signing off the South Harmon Spotlight. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Put you up and hide you on the shelf, I swear I'm through with you. You so hard to leave it alone, it's always something new with you. Ain't nowhere to get her gone, gone, gone. So I guess I'm gonna tie one on. She's so cold, I had to go and pour you over ice. Way he got me locked down, you think whiskey was my wife. You so good, I had to take you home and hit it twice. Two of you gon' keep me up all night. Whiskey, whiskey, won't you go away? Come again some other day. Cause a memory came out to play. And I'm tired of it, tired of it. I don't wanna wonder where she been.
Where she at?
She was here, now she gone again. Now it's me and all my whiskey friends. And I'm tired of it, tired of it.